I didn't get my walk in this morning. Those of you who know me know that on Sunday morning, as a way of preparing, I put my feet in gear and get out, and that helps me to think and to pray. Except right about the moment I was ready to step out the door, guess what happened? The heavens unleashed. You know, it seems ironic that we plan a cookout, as I said earlier, and it rains. But life is full of rain, isn't it? Heard from some of the folks who came up for the memorial service yesterday that for all the rain we've gotten, they on the eastern shore are thirsty for rain. And we go through rainy periods in life, dark times, dark valley moments in life. And that's the way it is. What you just watched and perhaps, I hope, read was a preparation for one of those storms that was on the horizon. In John's gospel, these are the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he is arrested. He has spent time in that upper room with them, talking with them, and many of his words are very familiar to us. You know, as brethren, we turn to that one chapter that talks about him getting down on his knees and washing Peter's feet. You know that one. Words that lead to a servant ministry, you know, a life of service, reaching out and helping other people. We also have heard in those passages some familiar words of Jesus talking about how, you know, he is going to prepare a place for us. That's in the passages leading up to the 17th chapter of John. And he says in that passage, which may be familiar to many of you, you know, don't be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may also be. And he says, in my Father's house are, how many? Oh, a lot of you raised with the King James, many mansions. You know, that's not an engineer's image. That's a poet's image. Or it could be many, many rooms. You know, it's broad and wide and spacious. A God who is welcoming with arms open wide for God's people. Of course, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, you know where I am going. And one of the disciples said, excuse me, I don't think so. Where are you going? We don't know the way. And in response to that, what did Jesus say, some of you? Jesus said, I am the way. Now, as we hear those words, we shouldn't be thinking in terms of high theology and saying, okay, let's make this into a doctrine and so that everybody who believes that Jesus is the way is somehow in the in crowd. And those who do not believe are in the out crowd. No, his words about being the way are linked to his words of welcome when he said over and over again, what? Come, follow me. The way. Walk in the way. And these are all sorts of things that he was needing to tell his disciples in that upper room. But then he came to the very end, and his last words to his disciples really weren't in the form of instruction. His last words, at least in John's gospel, are in the form of prayer. Speaking to God. With the disciples overhearing, but in a way, he was speaking to them through this prayer. And that's what prayer often is. Prayer is opening wide a broad communication that is both vertical and horizontal. an awesome prayer, a prayer that would take them into a dark time. Now, he was preparing his disciples, and part of that prayer was for them, as they would head into some confusion and some disruption where their world was turned utterly upside down, more so than it had been by his coming. Turned upside down so much so that one even betrayed him. And another denied him. You've heard that story. And most all just plain ran away. In his first absence, and they knew where he was, they were lost. And he was praying for them through this dark valley time that God would protect them from the evil that surrounded them. That God would guide and direct them, and that through it all, God might be glorified. Now, the prayer may be a little confusing as we hear it, because we call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. If you turn to any commentary, that's sort of what they say. And the words can be heard in a very formal way. You know, Father, glorify me so that I can glorify you. Now, if I ever prayed that here, what would you think? You know, glorify me, God, so that I can glorify you. That sounds not at all like humility, does it? Anything but. But think of glory as that weighty thing that it is. And remember that Jesus, you know, where he came from. You know, John began his gospel with those pre-words, the preamble that links back to the very beginning of the Bible. And in John's gospel it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And in a long, kind of convoluted sort of way, it comes to that moment of separation when it says, and the Word became flesh. When Jesus was talking about glory, he was talking about returning back into that that was. I mean, Paul spoke of it in terms of, in his letter to the Philippians, you know, saying that Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be held on to be grasped, but instead released and took on human form, taking the form even of a slave, a servant. You know, that, and he experienced everything that we all experience, and he submitted himself even to the point of death, death upon the cross. That, you know, at the name of Jesus, you remember those words perhaps, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That kind of a returning, not to be prideful, but a returning to the way things truly are. And a sense of oneness between God and Christ. And Jesus, if you heard this prayer of Jesus, he was praying that his disciples might in similar way experience such a sense of harmony and unity and oneness. Not only with themselves. Remember I said that prayer is not only vertical, it is horizontal. But that his disciples may experience that sense of unity with one another and with God. That in what we do and who we are, who they were, God might be glorified, be sensed as present in the weighty way that God truly is present in this world. Those of you who were at the memorial service yesterday, did you feel that weighty presence of God? That's the thing I pray for when we have a funeral or a memorial service, that we have a sense of resurrection and that God is felt as present, even in the midst of our sense of absence and hurt, that God has raised and been glorified. And that was Jesus' disciple for his prayers. But for the amazing thing about John 17 is that this particular prayer of Jesus is not just for his disciples then. This prayer that Jesus prayed is for you now. Jesus prayed for you, for those who were to come. That was part of his prayer. The same thing he was praying for his disciples then, he's praying for us now. That we might experience and know the weighty presence of the risen Christ in our lives. That God may be glorified. Now, I want to give a little bit of a picture. If I might, Kathleen, you knew I was going to, I was forewarned you about this. I got an email from her the beginning of last week. Last Sunday, I wasn't here, but the news was shared during church that a transition had been made with our sister Lois. She had shifted from hospital to hospice. She was moving toward that time of ending, which hit you very, very hard. Your heart, your oldness, and the tears just flowed, and you said you got in your car, and you, the car just kind of took you down to Gilchrist. You needed to do something. God's disciples feel that need to do something. Have you felt that? Have you felt that? And you got there and you weren't sure what you were supposed to do, but you wanted somehow to bring comfort and all. And you came in, if I could put it in your words, what you shared, because I'm not sure looking at you that you could. Okay. That you came into this hospice center and came to the room in which she was and knocked on the door, and it was quiet out in the hall and you weren't sure, and the door was opened. And there was a party. Family was there and they were celebrating. They had, you said cake?
They had donuts. They finished lunch and they had donuts.
Wait a minute. Okay, you're speaking. We got to let you speak. Yeah.
They had just finished lunch. Lois was sitting up in bed. Her face was aglow with
glory.
Happy.
Glory.
Okay. And she was, her voice was the same as I remembered it before she got sick. And we've all seen her and talked to her, and her voice was very weak. It was like, I expected, I was so frightened to go in that room, and God's blessings were everywhere in that room. Her grandchildren were laughing with her, and it was beautiful. I cannot believe it. I don't know if I left anything for them. I came out so blessed. I just needed to share it with Pastor Pete because God was just filled that room, and it was such a comfort to me. And I guess it mainly the comfort was their comfort. He was right there in the room with them. He was sitting on the bed with Lois, I'm sure, holding her hand. Because it just couldn't be a happier scene.
First thing I thought of when I read those words, isn't that how God is? Isn't that how God is? Amen? Come on, isn't that how God is?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Okay. I'm not sure how I actually got that theme from John. You know, safe in the sun, we're walking in the light. But we are protected by God, and God is there every step of the way. Next week we will be celebrating the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we fully rejoice in that. That God is glorified in our here and now. Not because we're good people, but because God is good. Amen?